you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. According to this morning's paper, we have just 58 days to go until Election Day. And so, as we are in the midst of a hot and heavy campaign season, I must confess that I have been spending a little time with my books about presidential history and reading about past occupants of the Oval Office. And one of the books that I took a moment to leaf through was this biography of the first President Bush, George Bush, The Life of a Lone Star Yankee by Herbert Parmit. Now, this book tells the story of George Bush starting off as a young man and going off to war as the youngest naval pilot, and going to Yale where he was a star pitcher, and then heading off to Texas where he started an oil business and then pursuing a career in government, in Congress, the CIA, off in China, became vice president and president. But this biography was written in 1997, and so it doesn't have too much to say about Mr. Bush's post-presidential career. Nothing about his work with Bill Clinton in the aftermath of the tsunami that struck in the Pacific on Christmas Day in 2001. Nor does it have anything about the particular activity that Mr. Bush took up that I think speaks to our theme of growing younger. And some of you may know where I am going with this, but to celebrate his 75th birthday, George Herbert Walker Bush decided he would have a party by jumping out of an airplane. And he had so much fun doing this, he did it again for his 80th birthday, and then for his 85th. And if Parkinson's had not slowed him down, he made it very clear he would have done it on his 90th. Now, think about the mindset that is required of a septuagenarian, let alone an octogenarian, to decide to throw himself or herself out of an airplane just for fun. At the very least, there has to be a spirit of adventure. There has to be some optimism. There's clearly an openness to new things and experiences. But there is also, if you think about what is involved in a parachute jump, a willingness to listen and take orders. Now, George Bush had been president of the United States, the most powerful man in the world. He was used to giving orders. But for this experience, he was willing to be instructed. He was willing to be told what to do. And he was willing to place his trust in others. These are the kinds of attitudes and orientations we see in children. The world is exciting, and it is big, and it is full of adventure and possibility. And yes, even though we parents sometimes wish that our children could be trained like our dogs to obey our commands, the fact is, kids are really good about listening and learning. Unlike many of us adults, they can actually accept the concept that there are people who know more than they do. And maybe they can figure something out by listening to them. This is the attitude that Jesus tells us is required if we are to receive the kingdom. We need to be open. We need to be flexible. And who does he first have to tell this to but his disciples, the guys who have been traveling around with him, living with him? He has to tell them what is going on. Now, before we come down too hard on the disciples, they were just trying to be good helpers. Jesus has a lot to do. He's teaching, he's preaching, he's healing. He's busy. He doesn't have time for some kids. Sound familiar? I've been guilty of it. I've got to send off an email. Got to write a memo, go to a meeting. Got to finish a chore. We've all done it, I suspect. And we've all been on the receiving end when we were little. I love the image of Jesus being too busy. Imagine Jesus sitting at a desk, writing email, shuffling paper. It doesn't quite work, though, does it? Because Jesus was never too busy for those who needed him, especially the people who were often ignored, the ones who were in pain, the ones who were suffering, the ill, the poor, kids. Being a child in the first century was not like being a child today. No. There was no childhood as we know it. Kids had to work the land, help their parents bring in the crops. Infant mortality was high. So while parents loved their kids as much as we do now, there was also a different shade to the relationship, a recognition that a child might not pull through. In the eyes of the law, a child wasn't even seen as being a full person. Our notion of childhood as a distinct stage of life, when we could be nurtured and engage in wonder and just be little, is a relatively recent development in human history, only fully coming into flower in the Victorian age. And now as we look at the world around us with billions of dollars spent on marketing to kids, fashion industry that tries to convince our little people that they should dress just like adults, and indeed changes in society leading to the onset of puberty at ever earlier ages, it seems like childhood itself is in eclipse. This is bad news for society, and it is bad news for us in the church, because we are called to receive the kingdom like little children. And indeed, the kingdom is made for these children, for our children. Now, I've got some good news. Here at First Congregational Church in Lebanon, this community has gotten this message over the years. It was clear in the church profile that was put together a few years ago. There was a desire to draw in families and children. Through investments made in the refurbishment of our church school, the love and attention that's given to our Sunday school program by our church school director and our teachers. And we always have room for more teachers in addition to members of the choir. We saw this come up in our congregational discernment process as we identified three major goals to shape our activities going forward of growing deeper, growing outwards, and growing younger. But while that involves making sure we have vibrant Sunday school programs and activities and ministries to support parents and kids, this isn't just about demographics. We're not saying to our older members, we don't care about you anymore, you don't count. No, indeed, we need to continue to develop the ministries that are going to serve the members of our congregation, wherever they are, whatever age they are. But to do that, we need to grow younger. It's a mindset, it's a habit, it's an orientation. It is a recognition that the church of tomorrow is not the church of today, just as the church of today is not the church of yesterday. We are alive. And my hope and my prayer is that we can indeed be like little children and receive the kingdom. You notice how Jesus says, receive the kingdom. We do not make it. We do not take it. We do not create it. It is given to us. God, the creator of the universe, who could be doing anything, has chosen to offer you and me life in the kingdom. A life of grace and hope and blessing and reconciliation and redemption. But we have to be ready to receive it. We need to set aside our cynicism, stop being jaded, stop worrying about constraints and why things can't work out, and instead look at the possibilities. We do it as a community, we do it as individuals, if we are living fully into our faith. The life of faith is like jumping out of an airplane. It's one little twist. There's no parachute. There we all are, standing at the hatch, looking out. Boy, the houses and the trees and the buildings, they look so small down there. And logic and reason and common sense are telling us to move away from the hatch and sit back down and wait for that plane to land. But imagine what we are going to miss if we don't launch ourselves out into the great beyond. When we step out of that airplane of faith and throw ourselves out, we are launching ourselves into God's creation. We are heading directly into the kingdom. And there, we will be blessed. There, we will be enveloped by grace. There, we will fully know God's love. So how about it? Are you willing to grow younger? Are you willing to jump? Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for all the wonderful examples of faith and courage you have offered us in children and grandparents and those who are rock solid in their beliefs and those who are seeking answers. Thank you for coming to each of us and for coming to all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.